Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now. 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, that's 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, and Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to Bob and Richard.
Thank you.
First time I've seen you this whole year.
That's right. Oh,
seems like a year ago or
yes.
more.
Yeah.
Well, indeed, Happy New Year to you two guys and our team and to all of our listeners out there. It's always exciting to roll over the clock into a new year. I mean, folks get excited. They go on diets. They go to gyms. They write down their goals.
And I don't understand that because, you know, we change the calendar every month.
Yes, we do. Change the calendar every day.
Yeah.
But it is a great time to kind of hit the reset button and say, okay, where are we going to go this year? And we've kind of done that with our ministry. What do we want to do in 2016 as far as the radio broadcast is concerned? And this year we're going to take a look at some key biblical words. You know, when you look out there and ask people, you know, what certain words mean, they kind of hem and haw and fumble. But these are going to be basic words of the gospel, words like reconciliation, words like redemption, words like justification. These are the big words that you see in the Bible, but they're so integral to understanding the good news of Jesus Christ. So we want to spend some time this year looking at these key biblical words and what they mean and how they apply to our Christian lives. And so we're going to start with a four-letter word this month, the word hope. If you look out there in the world and you ask the question, what is needed more than anything else today? I think hope is that word. People are looking for hope. I mean, we have such a dark world out there. There's tragedies happening almost daily, shootings and acts of terror and all kinds of weather-related issues. And people are looking for hope, and that's what the gospel message provides is hope. If we're going to have true, genuine hope, something that we can build a life upon, we have to go to the gospel message. That's why it is the message of hope. And I love what Paul wrote about that in Romans 15:4. This is one of those passages that you mark, you underline, you memorize, you use in conversation, you kind of build your life upon. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So everything that was written in the past, as far as the Word of God is concerned, that's what Paul is referring to here. He's not talking about, you know, every book or everything that was ever penned by any human being. He's talking about the Word of God. So everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So when we go to the book of Genesis, when we go to the book of Jeremiah, when we go to the Psalms or Proverbs or any one of those Old Testament books, there's a purpose behind that, and that purpose is to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of these scriptures, we might have hope. So the point of the teaching is so that we might have hope in this world today. So why do we go into the Word of God? Why do we read the Scriptures? Why do we go into the Old Testament? So that we can have hope in our situation. When we look at the nation of Israel, boy, they messed up. They were, as you say so often, Richard, in the weeds. I mean, they took the wrong turns left and right.
Yeah,
they never stayed right down the center. They didn't stay on the path that God had laid out for them. They kept turning and following and chasing after foreign gods and trying to be successful that way. They kept looking, you know, when they were set free from Egypt. As soon as they got into the desert, they started looking back to Egypt and longing for what they had there. Slavery? You want that?
Yeah.
But that's what they longed for. And yet God was faithful. God never gave up on them. God never left them. God was always there saying to them, I'm forgiving your sins. I'm loving you with an ever lasting love. That was God. And so as we look at that, we think if God can stick with those folks, he can certainly stick with me. Yeah. And that gives us hope. That's what the scripture is there for, to give us hope. Why does it give us hope? Because we need hope. And so this month, we're going to take a look at this word. It is a word that means the desire of some good with an expectation of obtaining it. You know, I hope I get that bike for Christmas. I don't know if I will or not. But
different deal.
This hope is something completely different. It's a desire of something good with the expectation, the confident, firm expectation of obtaining it. And we're going to talk all about that and how it applies in our daily lives this month on Basic Gospel.
We're going to have a lot of hope this month.
Yes, we are.
844-322-2742. We hope to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And again, 844-322-2742. Open lines, plenty of time right now. If you have something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question you'd like to pose, this is your best opportunity. So give us a call, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to White Plains, New York, and talk with Gary, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gary. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you as well.
And Happy New Year. I have a question that's been rolling around in my head for a while, and it has to do, right now I'm reading the Gospel of Mark, but I've seen it in other places in the Bible. And when they refer to the Son of Man, shouldn't it be the Son of God when they talk about Jesus? Very confusing for me.
Well, he is the Son of God, and we see that phrase attached to him in numerous places. We see him as God the Son, so the second part of the Trinity. So God is one, manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we also see this phrase of Son of Man attached to him as well. And it is actually a phrase that talks about his deity as well. It's just another way of saying that this Jesus is God, and he is the rightful heir to the throne of David and those sort of things. Richard, you have some information on this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's part of the miracle of who Jesus is, because he became fully human. He could be described as the Son of Man, even while being fully God. Now, he emptied himself, according to Philippians, he emptied himself of godness and chose to live as a man, but he never ceased to be God. He demonstrated in his humanity full dependence upon the Father so that he could demonstrate how our lives are supposed to be lived. But it's one of the great miracles and mysteries of our God, that he could be fully God and fully man at the same time and be here with us. And so when you see the Bible writers referring, and even Jesus himself, John 12, for example, he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." I mean, he even referred to himself that way. And so it was what he's doing in reality is elevating both his godhood and his manhood to a level that is above us. You and I are humans, but we are fallen humans. Jesus was never a fallen human. He was born spiritually alive in the same way that Adam was created spiritually alive. So that makes him utterly different than you and I. And so for him to refer to himself and for others to refer to himself as a Son of Man is really elevating his manhood above who we are. And it's another part of that miracle.
Okay, because just to me it seems like it's sort of disrespectful sometimes when I read that. And it just, I guess I can get a better understanding of it.
Yeah, well, just read the broader context of where, whenever you see that, that's one of those things that in your Bible study, it seems to me that the Holy Spirit is taking you someplace, and he's brought to your mind Son of Man. And so when you see that phrase, look at the rest of the context, ask the Spirit, you know, is this something I'm just supposed to kind of hold on to for now, or do you have something to show me here? And, you know, sometimes you have to mark it and wait And other times it'll just become as clear as a bell.
Yeah. Gary, here's a passage. Yeah, here's a passage to look at, I think, that will be helpful to you. Daniel chapter 7, starting in verse 13, says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is Jesus, the Son of Man, one who has been given all authority to judge and all authority to give life to those who receive him."
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You guys have a blessed day.
Thank you, Gary.
You Thanks, too, Gary. Gary. You too. Bye-bye. Hey, hang on, Gary. Since you're the first caller in 2016, let me put you on hold. We want to send you a special gift just to say thank you, okay?
Oh, great.
Hang
thank
on.
You.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, Gary's the winner.
Yes, he is.
We did
he
have
is
the, prize
the
today,
winner.
We had the prize to give him. So 844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock, friends, and plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Lee from Katy, Texas. And he says, "We're flooded with churches in my area, but every single one I've attended does not teach that we're in the New Covenant. The dispensationalists teach that the New Covenant is for Israel, and the Reform group thinks they are Israel, still living in the Old Covenant. And the non-denominationals teach that we're under grace, but ignore the topic of our New Covenant altogether. Why do you think that they do that?" That's from Lee in Katy, Texas.
Well, that's an excellent question,
boy.
And it opens up a can of worms, as we say here quite often. But I think the Scripture is clear that we are in the New Covenant, and this New Covenant applies both to Israel and to Gentiles. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. So when he went out, he preached to Gentile people. He went to the Jews first. He went to the synagogues.
Always.
Always. And then he went out to the Gentile people. And so in Philippi and Colossae and Thessaloniki and all of those places, the majority of people who received Christ were Gentiles, not Jews by birth. And as he went out as a minister of the New Covenant. So he went to Corinth, for example. And as he wrote in his second letter, God had equipped him, made him competent as a minister of the New Covenant.
Yes.
Not of the old, but of the new. Why? Because the old kills, but the new, the Spirit, gives life.
Yes.
So Paul ministered life. That's what this new covenant is all about. It's about life in Jesus Christ, this new life we receive when we come to him by faith. So we go from death to life, and then that life is this new covenant. That's what governs us as children of God. So it is for believers, both Jew and Gentile. It's what binds us together. So when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we participate in this new covenant. It's the cup of the new covenant that we share in. And so that new covenant binds us together as the people of God. And so we need to understand that this new covenant is for all believers. It's not just for Israel. We see for example, in Jeremiah, that the prophet said there's going to be a time coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house of Israel. So that was their way of saying we're going to make a new covenant with the people of God. And at that time, it was the house of Judah and the house of Israel.
Yes.
Folks outside of Judah and Israel, the Gentile world, were without hope at that particular time. But now we have been brought near and made partakers of this new covenant. So the two, Jew and Gentile, have become one new man. We are unified in Christ in this new covenant. So it is for all believers. And it is the one subject that is very seldom talked about. Most of the scriptures about the new covenant in the New Testament are found in the book of Hebrews. So a lot of people simply look and say, hey, this is a book to Hebrews. It's a book to the house of Judah and the house of Israel. But when you read it, you realize it's for you. If you're a Gentile, it's for you. It is talking about the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ that set you apart, that perfected you in God's sight, that gave you access into the throne of grace. It's a new covenant, and we're actually going to talk about that this month, because in this new covenant, a better hope has been introduced to us. Yes. And that's the hope that we live in each and every day. So why do churches or pastors not really emphasize that? I don't know. But once they get it, they'll never stop talking about it. I guarantee it.
Yeah. It changes from tragedy to triumph when they get it.
Good yes, point. Indeed.
Lee, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And again, open lines, 844-322-2742.
Let's go to Queens and talk to Angela, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angela.
Brother Bob. It's about persecution. I know the Lord says that if I was, you're going to be also. This is my case. Okay, the whole family, which are Christians, but they are in a backslide. And everybody else in the church I'm trying to reach. Yes, but when you call, there is no answer. They don't answer. Everything is like leave a message. It's just like that. I am isolated, and I'm going through many. This is one of the persecution is that they are against. They speak lies about me. That's exactly what the word says. And I'm isolated, and that's what I'm saying, that the Lord doesn't really want me to be with others, because it's true that when I am, it is influence. People influence people.
Okay, Angela, I think, in this world, we're going to experience hardships and troubles and suffering, and we're also going to experience persecution. As Paul wrote to Timothy, that anyone who wants to experience life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's just part of being a child of God in this world today. And the reason for that is because we live in a world of darkness. And so Jesus Christ is light, and when he comes to live inside of us, we carry his light into this world of darkness, and the darkness does not like it. The darkness turns and runs from the light. We see that time and time again in our own experience, and then certainly Scripture bears that out. I think one of the most important passages in the New Testament is in the book of John, John 3. We know that passage is John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but then he goes on to talk about the very nature of this world in which Jesus entered into, and it's a world of darkness, and this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Who is that light? Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to say, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So, Angela, you being a Christian, you have Jesus Christ living inside of you, the very light of the world. And so as you interact with people who are in darkness, they're either going to come to you, to the light, and to find out more about this Jesus who lives inside of you, or they're going to turn and run because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. They don't want the truth about who they are and what they like to do and what their attitudes are and what they like to think. They don't want those things brought into the light. Because why? They want to keep on doing those things. Bars are dark. Why? Because people like to do what they do in bars under the cover of darkness. That's just the way of the world. So because you have Christ living in you, Angela, because Jesus is the light of the world, when you try to engage with the culture, when you try to engage with darkness, you're going to either experience rejection, or people are going to warm up to you and say, tell me more about this Jesus. Those are the two options. So in this world, you're going to experience that. Well, Angela, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I hope I can get this out right. I remember one day listening to you, and you said being under the law is being under the Ten Commandments. Well, for years, I would say this in my mind, I won't go shopping. I won't go shopping. All day, I won't go. Well, the next day, I'd be out there shopping. And I got so bad, I said, I won't go shopping if it kills me. And I was out there shopping. Was I under the law?
Well, you weren't under the Ten Commandments. You were under your own set of laws, type of thing. So we have the Ten Commandments, and that shows us, you know, the righteousness of God, and it shows us where we miss the mark. So we see something about ourselves in those Ten Commandments. But oftentimes we come up with our own rules and regulations, our own traditions to try to follow and to uphold. We see that a lot around this time of the year when people make New Year's resolutions. They try desperately to live up to those resolutions. They fall flat on their face, and then they feel guilty for not living up to them. So those are rules and regulations that can make us feel guilty, even like the Ten Commandments when we don't live up to those. So it can be any set of rules and regulations that really trip us up.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense, Mary Jo?
Well, it helps. I mean, I don't, now that I've been listening to you all and growing in grace also through Bob George, I pretty much don't shop as heavy as I used to, and I just give it to the Lord, and, you know, if he wills it, he wills it.
Well, Mary Jo, as far as that is concerned, I mean, I think what Scripture moves us to is not trying to stop something, it's to begin doing something.
Yeah, replace it.
Yeah. So it's walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So the Spirit is going to be teaching you how to manage your resources, how to steward those dollars that he has equipped you with. And as you start saying, hey, I want to use these dollars to advance his kingdom. I want to use these dollars to help meet the needs of others. I want to use these dollars to, you know, provide for my own needs, those sort of things. As you start learning how to do that under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, the shopping and the overspending really take second place. You find you're not going to be gratifying those desires. So it's walk in the Spirit. That's what you focus on. And as you focus on walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit, then the byproduct, the result, is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's pretty much what I try to do now, walk in the Spirit.
Well, that's the focus. The writer of Hebrews simply said it this way: keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Well, Mary Jo, we certainly appreciate your call. God bless and Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year as well.
Happy New Year to you all.
Also, that brings up the point that we have Meet the Author, our Bible reading plan that we continue to make available as we enter into this new year. We appreciate so much hearing from many of our listeners around the country and around the world who stepped up toward the end of the year to help in supporting the ministry. And, Bob, how are we doing?
Well, we're still waiting. We'll probably be getting 2015 contributions through the rest of this week. So we will have a report Thursday to let everybody know where we ended up 2015 and what lies ahead for us in 2016.
Very good. Well, going on into the new year, we, of course, as I said, continue to make available Meet the Author for you, our Bible reading plan. And if you'd like to make a contribution to the ministry, it's for a gift of any amount. You can do that by going to basicgospel.net and click that Meet the Author link, or you can call and speak with Billy at 844-412-2742. That's our time for today, everybody. And now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We're going to see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.